Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you on this Friday, January 23rd, 2026. Hope everybody had a great week. Bill Buckmaster, along with my buddy Brendan Kraft, engineering and producing the show on the other side of the glass. Brendan always comes up with some terrific, what we say in the business, bump music, our bumper music, and we're looking forward to hearing that. We welcome you to the show, broadcasting from central Tucson in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios at the Bustos Media Center here. This is 1030 KVOI, Tucson's trusted voice for live news and talk. This is our weekly edition of the program. We're here each Friday, noon to one, as we continue with the Buckmaster Show tradition that began 15 years ago. In January of 2011. Have our worldwide live listening and our podcasts of the show at our newly designed website. I'm really excited about it, buckmastershow.com. Of course, we've got 15 years of, well, pretty much every show. Joe Ferguson's with me from Tucson Agenda. Joe, it's almost become like a historic document. There's really? So many broadcasts.
Yeah, there has.
I mean, we had to kind of redesign the website to like accommodate all those, you know, 1 hour shows times like whatever every year. That's a lot of bandwidth.
It is. And I just can't think about how much one of your first interviews was. Every time you talk about the anniversary, I think about your interview with Gabby.
On Thursday before the Tucson tragedy, Gabby was my guest. It was my premiere week of the radio show after transitioning from 22 years on Channel 6, hosting Arizona Illustrated. And that was the last interview, media interview, that Gabrielle Giffords did before the assassination attempt. So, yeah, and that's in that archive that we've got. And also we put some fun stuff there. There's a travel blog, which I'm excited about, which I will be launching, actually the first of the travel blogs. I'm taking off for Palm Springs on Monday, and we'll be visiting the Joshua Tree National Park. And I'll be writing about that and posting a bunch of pictures. Also, that will be up at my Facebook page as well. All right, when we do our live line, that's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Thanks to Sean McCluskey, who stayed with us, as did 85% of our sponsors, which it's terrific that they have the confidence in what I do. Our media partners, TucsonSentinel.com and Green Valley News and Sahorita Sun. Let's welcome now our Friday Focus interview. This is a guy that we have interviewed many times in his capacity in 8.5 years as the Tucson City Manager. He's now the Executive Director of the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority, which is managed by the Pima Association of Governments. The RTA was formed after voters approved a half-cent sales tax increase in 2006 to fund transportation projects. And that's a lot of projects, Mike Ortega. First of all, great to see you, Mike. Thanks
nice
for being with
you,
us.
Sir.
That's a lot of projects. I think about 1,000 maybe. Is
over
that about
1,000.
Right?
That's correct.
Over 1,000 projects. But this was a 20-year program, so it expires or sunsets here very, very soon. So the voters of Pima County will have an opportunity March 10th. Ballots will go out, I think, February 11th. So that's just like right around the corner. And the voters will decide whether to renew the program, which is being referred to as RTA Next, for another 20 years. So how will that appear? Is this a mail-in? What are some of the nuts and bolts of this, Mike Ortega?
Sure, thanks. And first of all, thanks for having me. It's nice to see you again, Bill.
Thanks.
And Joe. It's always nice to sit and chat and get accurate information mm-hmm. out. So the Regional Transportation Authority, as you mentioned, was approved back in 06. The plan and corresponding sales tax is scheduled to expire or terminate at the end of June of this year. So June 30 is when that goes away. So this conversation, this opportunity is for an extension, a continuation of both a new plan, I'll talk about that in a minute, and also the continuation of the sales tax after that time.
This is not a new sales tax.
That's correct. And that's why I use the term continuation of the existing sales tax rate. And so because the voters have the opportunity to weigh in on it, we have to get out and make sure people are well informed, give them accurate information about both the plan and the tax. There's two questions on the ballot. As you mentioned, it is an all mail-in ballot. And so there are two questions. The first question is a Proposition 418. That is the 20-year transportation plan. It's a regional transportation plan. The second question, Proposition 419, is the continuation of the sales tax for another 20 years.
Joe Ferguson.
So, I mean, I think we've got a lot of great accomplishments, and I wrote about them today as well. And I think for, you know, your experience is probably best with the city of Tucson and your time as a city manager there. And so, you know, there are still things that didn't get done. And I wrote some of those headlines over the years saying that there were cash shortages, that there were delays in programs, that certain ideas were scrapped. The bridge over Campbell, for example, got scrapped at some point. And so I just want to get a sense, you know, of how this is different. I get the sense that there's a lot of money that's being allocated for transportation, but not necessarily for specific defined programs that might change over the course of the next two decades.
Joe, I think it's important that we, you know, take a little bit of a step back. So the RTA 1 projects and program, as Bill mentioned in his introduction, had over 1,000 projects that were completed. So we'll start there. At the end, now that we are close to the completion of it, we have three that have not yet started or will not start by the end of this fiscal year. They will start shortly, but they're not going to start within the time frame. But if RTA Next passes, all of those are completed. So there are no pieces, if you will, of that original RTA plan that were not completed or would not be completed. But I also think it's important to talk about what that means, because there are seven projects that are on the RTA Next ballot that are from the 2006 ballot. So we'll call that RTA 1 as opposed to RTA Next. And those seven projects, five of them are rescoping. And so part of the way that the specificity works on the ballot, the scope of the project, the type of roadway configuration of the project has to be defined and is defined on the original ballot. Well, so for example, North First Avenue on the old ballot said it needed to be a six-lane cross-section. Well, after analysis by the city of Tucson, after public feedback, that is, it's would be overbuilding. Right? We don't need that cross-section. So we want and recommend that it be a four-lane divided roadway. Well, that requires voter action. That requires permission from the voter. Same thing on 22nd Street, for example, six-lane cross-section was recommended or was approved by the voters back in 06. We now know we don't need six lanes. We only need four lanes. So again, have to go back to the voter to make sure. So those seven projects, five of them are those examples, and two of them are completing funding. Tangerine Road is one, and Grant Road is another. So that package includes that, and I'll call it the completion to make up for the shortfall in revenues and the shortfalls over the course of the 20 years.
So the confusion is some of the signs I'm seeing about voting no on why have new tax. I think folks are thinking this is going to be this program again, new taxes. And there, some of these signs are saying, well, let the existing entities, the county or the cities, particular cities in Pima County, let them pick up the slack. That's not really possible, is it, Mike Ortega, going to pick up the slack? Where's that money going to come from?
Well, clearly, yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
So, clearly, you know, folks are uninformed when they say those things, because the needs in the region, the transportation needs of the region are massive, right? Mm-hmm. And you can just drive down any road.
Sure.
But it's not just on the roadside. You know, think about it in terms of the entirety of the transportation system. So you also have alternate modes. You've got bicycle. You've got pedestrian. You've got safety improvements. You know, we have data from the University of Arizona that says a hawk, a on-demand crosswalk, if you will, reduces pedestrian crashes by 50%. Those are huge improvements. Well, guess what? There isn't enough money coming to the region, period, in order to make those types of improvements. And so when folks say, no, let the entities have that's a great idea and concept, but the dollars are very finite that they get for transportation, because most of the money that's spent on these kinds of improvements is gas tax. And gas taxes have gone down over time because of the efficiency of vehicles, and quite frankly, the fact that it's tied directly to the number of gallons sold, not the dollars. So it is a tax, but it's not a sales tax. It's actually a transaction based on gallons. And so when you factor all of those pieces in, there just isn't enough within the region, coming into the region, to fix all of the challenges that we have.
And you've been in one of those entities as the city manager for 8.5 years at the city of Tucson. You know about what funds are available when it comes to transportation. And without the RTA over these past 20 years, what would our road system look like?
Well, severely deteriorated would be the answer. But also think about this. I think as you look at the urban core and you look at the suburban communities, it's a very diverse set of needs. The needs are different in the Vail area and the Marana area than they are in urban Tucson. They're also different on the Tohono O'odham Nation, for example.
Right.
And so when you start looking at the plan, it has to address that diversity. And that's oftentimes what people forget when you're looking at, again, a regional plan, a pooling of regional resources to address the entirety of the region. That means you're going to have some diverse type projects.
Joe Ferguson, pick it up from there, Joe.
I think that we also haven't probably brought in the fact that you can say, you know, definitively as a city manager, it's a lot easier to get regional transportation funds than it is to get somebody to build you a bridge from federal funds inside the city limits of Tucson. Having a large regional body advocating for regional needs, a bridge in Marana still benefits Tucsonans who live in the city core. At the end of the day, we drive around, we move around. And so that's one of the aspects of it that we haven't talked about yet, is that, you know, the money coming in from the feds are also a big portion of how the RTA benefits everyone in the community.
Joe, I like to use the word leverage.
Sure.
And so when you think about the investment, the local, we invest in ourselves, okay, with this plan and this program, but we're able to use those finite resources to leverage federal money. So you mentioned, you know, some of the freeway interchange projects, and those tend to get people's attention. So I'm going to give you two examples of how people might think of them as municipality or jurisdictional projects, but I want to give you the regional perspective because I think they're important. So the first one I'm going to talk about, and they're the same or very similar in terms of the issue, so I'll talk about them together, is Rita Road. And the other one, this is the Rita Road Interchange, and the other one is the Tangerine Road Interchange. So when you hit peaks, which are the afternoon traffic hour, the traffic backs onto and stops on the freeway so that people have to pull off onto the shoulder. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. And so by improving that, who benefits from that? Okay, and so people would immediately think, well, that driver does, right? But also the drivers that use, the people that use the freeway system. So let's take it a step further. Let's say that you don't drive or that you are not a car owner. All of a sudden, the conversation shifts to how do you get your goods and services? How do you get your groceries to your grocery store? How do you get the things that you buy? Even if it's online, by the way, even if you never leave your home, the freeway is still something that everyone uses. All of a sudden, when you draw the map and you see Tangerine Road is in the Marana and Rita Road is in Tucson, you also all of a sudden start to see the regional impact and the value from a regional perspective. The last little piece I'll leave you with is the Tohono O'odham Nation. Our highest transit route, the highest demand route, is from Tucson and the Tucson area over to Sells and over to Ajo on the Tohono O'odham Nation. That's a piece of the transit funding that goes. We oftentimes think of transit as, just the fixed routes, right? And just the pieces. You think of a bus stop, you think of a bus. But there's also paratransit and dial-a-ride that is, again, regional. It's not necessarily to one entity or one jurisdiction.
All right, let's take a quick call before our first break. Paul would like to join the conversation on the live line presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Go ahead, Paul. You're with Mike Ortega.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Mike. Real quickly, in a very simple way, can you explain why there are two ballots in a simple way and why it's so important that they vote on both?
Okay. Before Mike answers the question, I know this is caller Matt and not Paul. So go ahead, Matt. We heard from Matt, but explain why there are the two ballots, please, Mike Ortega.
Okay. So it's Matt.
It's Matt.
Okay. Hey, Matt. Thank you. Thank you for the call and thanks for the question. So that's actually statute driven. The law requires two questions on the ballot. One is the plan, which is Proposition 418, and the other is Proposition 419, which specifically asks the voters to consider continuation of the tax. The reason that that's important is because, well, first it complies with the state law, but both of them have to pass. So approving the plan and not the tax gives you a plan without funding. Approving the funding without the plan gives you funding but no plan. It doesn't matter if one of them fails. They, in essence, both fail.
So people will have to decide whether to continue with this tax.
And it has to be, both questions have to be answered.
All right. Thank you, Matt, for calling. We're going to take our first break right here. Before we hear the recorded messages, I want to tell you about my favorite Mexican restaurant, El Cisne, at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Presenting multicultural fine dining of many regions of Mexico, the multicultural Mexican heritage is at the heart and soul of El Cisne. El Cisne, of course, translated into English, Swan, and appropriately enough, there at the northeast corner of Sunrise and Swan. We did a New Year's Eve party that was catered by El Cisne, and it was terrific. They do a great job. They're open daily for lunch and dinner. Again, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. So the services include pickup or delivery. They'll set up and do the cleanup and host and be the attendants at your gathering. Check it out, El Cisne. I love these people, love their food, and we appreciate their sponsorship of the show. All right, let's hear from the other great sponsors that make this program possible.
A proposed $2.67 billion regional transportation plan will be funded by a half-cent sales tax if Pima County voters approve the plan and tax next March for another 20 years. The tax rate will not increase. Funding from the 2006 voter-approved plan is expected to bring a $3.67 billion economic impact to the greater Tucson region. The sales tax investment for RTA Next will lead to a similar economic impact and more than 48,000 additional jobs over the next 20-plus years. Learn more about RTA Next funding and proposed projects at RTANext.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com. Travel is in my DNA. When I'm ready to start another adventure, my trip begins and ends at our local airport, Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. TUS, where it's made easy to fly. Start planning now for your next air adventure by visiting flytucson.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita's Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The News and Sun's media reach 75% of the region through newspapers, websites, social media, video, newsletters, and more. They also produce more than a dozen print and digital magazines annually for an audience of 70,000. Find them at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, covering your hometown.
A little bit of Kenny Loggins there, If You Believe. Nice job with our bump music, Mr. Brendan Kraft. On the other side of the glass, if you're just joining us, it is the Buckmaster Weekly Show. We're now here every Friday, noon to one. We still continue with our traditions of the program that began 15 years ago, the daily program. And the traditions include a Friday focus interview with a newsmaker. And today we actually have two. Mike Ortega is here with us for segment one and two. Mike is the executive director of the Pima Association of Governments and the Regional Transportation Authority. And by the way, coming up in segment number three, we'll talk about Arizona politics with, he's a very prominent pollster, Mike Noble. Joe Ferguson's with me from Tucson Agenda. You know Mike, don't you?
Oh, yeah. We've heard him before. Sure.
Yeah, he does a terrific job in polling. We want to hear what he has to say about how Arizonans are feeling about immigration and everything else. But right now we want to talk about the RTA next election. The ballots will be mailed out February 11th. They have to be returned by March the 12th, correct, Mike Ortega? No, March 10th.
Yeah, I think it's the 10th.
The 10th. 12th, okay.
After the election.
All right.
So we don't.
Mike Ortega, executive director of the RTA. A couple of questions that have come in on my Facebook page. Why don't developers pay for these improvements to roads in our area?
So, Bill, a great question, and I've gotten that question before. And if you look at the RTA next plan, there is a provision for that exact payment. And so we refer to those as impact fees. And so across the entirety of the region, new development pays into a pot, if you will, for improvements. And those monies are actually built into the RTA next plan. So when you buy a house, there's a new house or a new lot that's developed, the developer, the owner of that, will actually pay into a pot that is then put into the RTA next plan. So they are paying their share of that.
Tucson Agenda's Joe Ferguson.
So I just want to get some words straight when we talk about this. We are talking about a new tax, but it is not an increase in the tax. There's some people out there that are really focused on this language, and this might be the right place to just kind of settle that out.
Yeah, thanks for asking that, Joe. I think it is important. So it's going to the ballot because it's a new tax, and so we have to be clear on that. But it is not an additional tax from what people are paying today. And that's why I said it's a continuation of the same tax rate. So it is technically a new tax, but it is not an additional tax. And I think that's an important distinction in terms of if it were just a new initiative or a new referendum that was brought to the ballot.
Go ahead, Joe.
And just, when we talk about this, if it doesn't pass, there are other things that we're going to lose out on. So I wrote this morning about how the city of Tucson spent a lot of money on Grant Road, getting it ready. And one of the sections that we talked about earlier, there was property acquisitions, there were plans that were made. So, the taxpayers have invested a lot of money in some of these projects that haven't come to light yet as well. And so that could be lost if RTA next doesn't pass. Is that correct?
That is correct, Joe. As a matter of fact, I mentioned earlier that one of the projects that needs money is the next segment of Grant Road. And so it's very clearly spelled out in the ballot that Grant Road needs additional money. Should this not pass, then the RTA board is going to have to make a decision on how to expend the remaining dollars that we have for projects, which are all committed. And so I expect that many of the projects that we have on RTA next would not be completed from RTA 1 because there's just not enough money.
And as you make those decisions, you'd also be putting the money into construction projects, not the money that's already going into mass transit.
That's correct. That's one of the conversations that we're having internally, obviously. And I've been asked, what does, quote, gap funding look like for transit? What I've suggested is that we need to have a, it's a policy decision of the board. So we'll need to have a conversation with them depending on the outcome of the election. But clearly, when you look at the dollars that were collected for 20 years and you look at the services that were provided for 20 years, that we have provided 20 years worth of transit funding. Well, there are many projects, you know, road projects that have not been completed. And so the conversation is really one of continuing with the commitment for that voter direction that we received back in 06.
I mentioned at the in the introduction, Mike Ortega, there were about 1,000, more than 1,000 individual increments, pieces of the, over the last 20 years that had to do with transportation that actually got done. In this next 20-year program, are we talking about the same quantity, approximately?
So I will say yes, Bill, that we're talking about the same quantity. The reason that I'm not definitive is because there are what I'll call categorical elements. There's categorical pieces. So for example, there's safety. Mm-hmm. That's an important piece. There's environmental. That's an important piece. But we have identified those as pots of money and direction for how those will be used. I mentioned the hawk earlier. Mm-hmm. But we haven't gotten into the detail of how many hawks, because we're actually looking for public feedback on those from both the jurisdictions as well as the general public. And so what it does is it gives us an opportunity to really look at where that need is. And it needs to be data-driven. So it's a data-driven, but also public feedback will or that public feedback will assist us in identifying that final number. All things being equal, I would say that yes, it'll be in that ballpark. One of the things I want to mention that was not in the first plan that is in this plan is pavement rehabilitation.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
It is a big thing. And I'm sorry I should have mentioned that earlier.
That's huge.
But it is huge. And so when you look at the feedback that we got from the public, pavement is really important. And so the board, to their credit, said, okay, we've gotten this public feedback. We're going to revise and update the plan. So over $177 million is put towards pavement of arterial and collectors. The City of Tucson Citizens Oversight Commission just recently was presented this information for their recommendations on how those dollars will be expended. And so there's already movement afoot on how that those dollars would be expended within the confines of the arterials and collectors.
You mentioned HAWC, just for folks that might have been joining us. These are pedestrian area improvement enhancements.
That's correct. It's basically what I'll call the on-demand crosswalk.
Yes.
Which, by the way, drive a lot of people crazy because you're driving along and all of a sudden it starts flashing yellow and then red. But it keeps people safe.
Yeah. Joe Ferguson from Tucson Agenda.
So you've changed a little bit from the first iteration to the next by putting them into these buckets of different areas so you're not tied to an individual project. And so is that a lesson learned from, you know, the first time we've had a RTA?
I'm going to say we learned a lot of lessons from RTA 1. But what this did, there were similar, I'll call them buckets, in RTA 1. The big difference, though, is we put language here in terms of we'll call it aging infrastructure, improving aging infrastructure, versus saying we're going to expand it from four lanes to six lanes. What we've said is there is aging infrastructure that needs to support commerce, so we are going to put money aside for that corridor, that roadway. So that's the flexibility that we've built in. But keep in mind, I still feel very strongly, as you've heard me say many times in my prior life, that specificity is extremely important to the voter. We don't want to just create a bucket, right? It has to be specific. So if you look at each of these categories, we have documentation for how those dollars can be used. You know, there's language in there about administration, right? So it's always a flag for folks. Well, guess what? That administration is actually for small business advocacy. So when the Grant Road project is under construction, we have money to go out and help and facilitate some of the challenges and help them navigate some of those challenges during the construction period.
A viewer, our listener, wants to know, why has the Grant Road project taken so long?
I was waiting for this question. Well, you're almost there, you are. End, so I love it. Mm-hmm. So thanks for the question, because that's a very reasonable question. By the way, it drives me crazy as well. I drive that corridor often. Or actually, I try to avoid it now, to be in all honesty. But when you look at projects in the urban core, and this is not an excuse, this is a fact, they're much more complex. Now, people ask me, well, why can't you do it faster? Why can't you just do it, get it done? Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, we've made a very conscious decision to leave it open to traffic during construction. That's a very conscious decision. We could make a decision to close it off. But you got to remember, we've got businesses, we've got residents, we've got a variety of folks that use those corridors. Make it inconvenient is one thing, but impacting businesses is something else.
So closing it down would have expedited the project, but look what it does to the businesses.
Exactly. And so that's the balancing act. Now, I will give you an example where we will close it, and that's 26th Street Bridge. The 22nd Street Bridge will be closed during construction, because it has to be as we replace the bridge. The short answer on the Grant Road is the utilities have taken well over a year. We are expecting the construction to wrap up by the end of this calendar year. And so we're hoping that we can invite everybody to a ribbon cutting by the end of the calendar year for Grant Road.
All right. Here's Joe Ferguson as we quickly wind down our time with Mike Ortega.
So, there's a lot of information here. So you guys are doing outreach in that way. But for those who want to do their own research, that have questions even after this interview, where do they need to go? Where is the way to get the best information?
So best thing I would recommend is to go to the RTA website. We have podcasts explaining a lot of these things. We have materials. We've got materials in writing. We have the plan posted. We have advertisement for Q&A sessions. We have public Q&A session. I think we still have a couple left. People are welcome to come. They're open to the public. I think we do have maybe one more virtual session, maybe more. The key thing is the ballots will be mailed on February 11th. People need to get them in immediately. The election itself is March 10th. There's two questions on the ballot. They both need to pass in order to continue with the RTA.
We should talk about, before we let you go, kind of the RTA next. What would the highlights, what would be the marquee projects? And I don't think we've covered that, and we need to cover that.
Well, I'll just start off by saying, obviously there's a lot of new road construction. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that only 8 of those roads, there's 31 total, 8 of those roads are what I'll call capacity or additional lanes. 23 are upgrades to the infrastructure, the aging infrastructure. I think that's an important piece. I already talked a lot about the RTA 1 projects that are included, but I also want to talk a little bit more about the paving, okay, the repaving. Repaving has to be done with a 10-year life. So you're not going to see us go out there and just do a chip seal or a slurry seal or some kind of surface treatment. It has to be a reconstruction that will last a minimum of 10 years. And then transit. Transit actually has $726 million in the plan, with an additional $258 leveraged from other sources for nearly $1 billion of investment.
Mm-hmm. And that's an important point. When we see this chip seal, those are temporary fixes, aren't they, Mike Ortega?
Well, I wouldn't call them temporary fixes.
Because you were talking about a 10-year life.
Right. That's correct. I wouldn't call them temporary fixes. What I'd call them is ongoing maintenance. So it's basically a way of preserving the pavement. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about is totally reconstructing the pavement.
Mm-hmm. With the road, obviously those roads would have to be closed off during that period.
It will depend. To be honest with you, it will depend, because there are ways to do, say, half of the road and leave the other half open to two-way mm-hmm. traffic. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I didn't put a mm-hmm. lot of emphasis on is the entirety of this program, the $2.67 billion, is focused on safety. Mm-hmm. It's really the improvement of safety for all within the entirety of the region.
Mm-hmm. And then this is very important to many people, oversight. If this passes, who watches over you guys?
We sure do have a lot to cover, don't we?
We do.
Because I didn't even touch on that.
Yes.
So very, very quickly, one of the things that has changed from RTA 1 is the accountability. And when I was first hired on the board saw that as a challenge. And so what I've done is restructured how the accountability works. So the first thing is the Citizens Accountability for Regional Transportation Committee. That's a citizen-led citizen group oversees the schedules and the budgets for the entire program, not just for one project, but the entire program. They will prepare quarterly reports to the board, not to the executive director, but to the board directly in a public setting so that they can see, the board can see what's going on with the projects and the program as a whole. But the other piece is the technical management committee vote structure has changed, as has the CART committee as well. But the technical management committee also has the responsibility to review that on a quarterly basis.
Mm-hmm. Joe, anything real quickly for Mike Ortega? No? Okay. Mike, again, the ballots go out, and who is overseeing this election? Is this something that Pima County handles, a special election like this?
Yes, it's Pima County. Ultimately, the Pima County Board of Supervisors will oversee it.
And if someone has a question that they didn't receive a ballot or they would like a ballot, who would they contact? The Pima County Recorder's Office?
Yes, that's the Pima County Elections is probably the best place to start, and then they'll guide you from there as to where you need to go. And I believe registration is February 11th. I think that's, or excuse me, February 9th.
Well, we certainly want to make sure everybody has that opportunity.
Yes.
And there was a lot of questions, and we covered that on our daily show over and over. Is there even going to be an RTA election, an RTA next? And I was advocating that, yes, there should be, because we need this, we need the public to weigh in on how they feel about the area transportation.
Absolutely, Bill. And I've been asked, you know, what's the message that I want to put out there? Number one, please vote. Please vote. Please engage. That's our right as citizens of this great country. So please vote. And then the second is please be informed. Make sure that you know the detail, that you know and understand, because this is extremely important to our region and the future of our region. And it's important that you're an informed voter.
Yeah, and if you have any more questions, just Google RTA Next. I did that before the show, and there is a ton of information that you guys have put out there, which is a good thing. Mike Ortega, thank you. It was great catching up with you again, Mike. Thanks.
Sorry to keep you over.
No. We're in good shape. All right, coming up next, well-known Arizona pollster Mike Noble will be with us on our live line. Joe Ferguson sticks around for segment three as well. Joe, from the growing online presence of the Tucson Agenda. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Food insecurity is a huge challenge in our community. Please consider donating to the Community Food Bank of Southern Arizona and Interfaith Community Services. And don't forget our animal friends, supported by the Southern Arizona Food Bank, which makes sure no one ever has to make a choice of feeding their pets or feeding their families. Let's make sure no one goes hungry in Southern Arizona.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Our thanks to Mike Ortega. Very important election coming up for the Regional Transportation Authority. It's RTA next. But right now we switch to politics. Mike Noble, another Mike, a guest on the program. Mike Noble, founder and CEO of Noble Predictive Insights, the leading nonpartisan public opinion polling group here. I think they're the leading group, not only in Arizona, but the Southwest. Mike joining us now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Also with us in studio, kept him over for segment number three, my media co-host, Joe Ferguson is here, longtime Arizona Daily Star reporter and now doing a terrific job with the online news service Tucson Agenda. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good, Bill. It's always a pleasure to be on, and I'm pleasantly surprised to hear you got the Joe Ferguson with you, which I've been around this for a bit, and you know, I don't want to grow the ego, but he's one of the good ones out there when it comes to reporting, et cetera. So you surround yourself with good people. Nicely done.
Yep, he's terrific. Mike, what are Arizonans saying as they've been watching what's been going on in Minnesota, but what are they saying about ICE and immigration enforcement in Arizona?
Well, it's interesting. With ICE, for example, you know, we're unique compared to a lot of other states because, you know, we happen to, you know, sit on the border. So because of that, our opinions are radically different from, let's say, even a state adjacent to us, such as like Nevada. Very different. So immigration is still a top four issue for Arizona voters. And we've done some diving down on the, you know, impacts or attitudes of voters when it comes to the mirror device. It's basically the way you frame it. And if you frame it the way the Democrats do, is like, hey, you're breaking up families and you're taking people that have like, you know, super minor crimes or no crimes, right? And you're removing them. You know, public supports of it's about 50-50. For and against. But when you put it like, hey, we're taking out, you look at the Trump's administration, they say, hey, we're removing, you know, rapists, criminals, bad actors, blah, blah, blah. You know, support is incredibly high. So I guess depending on
how it's
who
phrased.
You're listening to. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, how it's phrased. And what's interesting is that of the two arguments between two sides, the Trump's argument is more effective than the other one.
Here's Joe Ferguson.
Do you think that there's a polling going on in congressional CD6 on this issue? And what do you think you're hearing on it?
Oh, yeah, there's absolutely congressional polling going on CD6 because there's going to be about, I don't know, 18, 20 congressional seats that are actually considered kind of toss-ups right now. I mean, a lot of them, you know, the die's already cast. And so but that CD6 is one of those districts. It's that in Arizona's first district in Northeast Maricopa County. So, you know, not only two battlegrounds, I mean, in the fight this year is going to be on Congress for sure. I mean, Senate's possible for Democrats, but probably might be a bridge too far. But, you know, the House is the low hanging fruit for them. So not only do I expect there to be a lot of polling on that, the problem is that there's not going to be any polling really publicly available just because those congressional districts, when you poll, it's only really good for that district. So the ones that poll on are the ones that have the most vested interest, which are typically the political parties. So I expect it to be an issue there. But also I think it'll probably help the Democrat more than the Republican.
How about issues on state government, governor, and some of the top races? Any quick insight on that, Mike Noble?
Oh, yeah. So our top race, so it will not be a U.S. Senate race because we've been so used to them because we've had them five cycles in a row now. However, we actually get our first break this year, so we won't have a U.S. Senate contest. So the number one ticket or the most watched race is going to be the race for governor. And with that race for governor is that you have incumbent Democrat Katie Hobbs sitting there, but I'll start with, she doesn't really have a primary opponent, so there's that. So the action's all going to be in the primary on the Republican side. And you actually have three heavy hitters that are in there: Congressman David Schweiker, Congressman Andy Biggs, and then businesswoman Karen Taylor Robeson. And interestingly enough, we pulled the race probably three times last year, so we're doing quarterly tracking, and we're going to pull it again in February, just kind of keep a pulse on it. But right now, it's basically a toss-up. I mean, maybe you could say maybe Biggs has a slight edge or Robeson has a slight edge. Admittedly, the biggest number in that race is those that are undecided, which is about 42%.
Wow.
Yeah. So, like, for example, let's say you, Bill, were running in that race and you're up by five. Okay. There's no reason to celebrate because when you have 42 people, 42% sitting on the sidelines, that could go. I mean, again, that it could easily shift very quickly. So, as it forms, but what we know from some of the research is that, and we did some power rankings recently, like looking at candidate electability, that both Schweikert and Biggs are stronger with the GOP than Robeson is. I mean, Robeson's not bad. They're just stronger. They ranked at number six and number seven among Republicans, where Robeson was like, I think, number 17. So a little bit a better position in the primary. However, on the money side, Robeson is likely going to have more money than the rest of them to run. And the other factor is that when you look at, products out there, you have Robeson and Biggs and Schweiker both are kind of considered or look very similar demographically. They're both longtime congressmen. They're both males. They're both fiscal conservatives, both socially conservative. So they look very similar on paper, but similar products. Robeson's able to differentiate herself a little bit more from them. But also there hasn't been Robeson's been touting that Trump endorsement or that quasi endorsement. So again, I think it's going to be a super fascinating race. I think it's going to get hotter before it gets crazier, but anybody running away with it this early doesn't have their facts straight. I mean, it's going to be a battle.
All right, about a minute and a half left. Joe Ferguson.
Oh.
So just real quick, I wanted to get a sense of when do Republicans undecided solidify in a primary like this?
Solidify? I mean, they'll start solidifying a little bit more. You'll see more movement about you'll see it gradually move as we get closer, a little bit faster when you get a month out from early voting. But it's really about a week before early voting. But right when they get that early ballot, that's when you really start to see the undecideds move because it's like, oh, crap, they're asking me to make a decision. I better start focusing on this because, surprise, surprise, most Arizonans aren't sitting there around like, oh, who's going to be our next governor? Who's going to be our next governor? Only usually people in the beltway like us are thinking that.
Can I do a quick, I've only got about a minute. How about Chris Mays, the AG? That race is going to be real tight. Any polling on that one?
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing with polling on that. And I've polled these statewide races many cycles in a row. It's the perks of being older, I guess, is that, with these statewide, a lot of voters really aren't paying attention to those. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now, if you were to poll that race, I'd say you'd have upwards of 60%, maybe 70% that are undecided.
Wow.
I mean, it's a total toss-up at that point. And frankly, those races usually are more succumb to how generically the electorate's overall voting. And in the midterm, currently, there's an advantage to Democrats right now since Republicans are the party in power in Washington.
Okay, Mike, quick plug for our Noble Predictive Insights. Where can people find out more about your team?
Yeah, just NoblePredictiveInsights.com. If not, we're on X.com at Noble Predictive. But yeah, just go to the website. And basically, if you're into the data and you want to kind of be updated on it, just sign up for our newsletter, whether it's Arizona, Nevada, Utah, or our national tracker. Anyways, you can kind of pick and choose what data you want to have to you. But yeah, we're going to continue to be the ESPN of politics.
Thank you very much, Mike Noble, for being on the program. Good catching up with you, Mike.
Hey, thank you both. Take care, gentlemen.
All right, we'll take a break right here. Coming up next, a weekend watch with 101.7 The Drive, Joe Ferguson. Joe, thank you very much. We can find your work at Tucson Agenda, right?
.com, yes, sir.
There you go. Be right back.
Tucson International Airport, we make it easy to fly from the moment you arrive.
Hop in. We'll get you from parking to the terminal in no time.
We keep our lines short so you can get to your gate quickly.
Why deal with the big city airport when you can relax with our dining options before your trip?
We'll get you off the gate and into the air fast.
At TUS, we make it easy. Visit flytucson.com. Now with nonstop flights to Portland, Las Vegas, and Salt Lake City.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Attend an upcoming question and answer session hosted by the Regional Transportation Authority. To learn more about the proposed $2.67 billion Regional Transportation Plan voters will consider next March. The proposed improvements, if approved, will reduce congestion and support cleaner air, enhance network reliability, safety, and efficiency. A half-cent tax to fund RTA Next, if approved, will replace the current tax, resulting in no change in the current tax rate. The Q&A sessions, which are being held across the region, include in-person and virtual events. Learn more or sign up at RTANext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Friday, January 30th at noon, guest hosts Dylan Smith and Paul Ingram of TucsonSentinel.com will talk with a newsmaker on our Friday Focus interview, then Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive on 1030 KVOI, Tucson's only source for live local news and talk, and always on BuckmasterShow.com.
Feeling very footloose here on the Buckmaster Show Friday edition. It's time for Weekend Watch with 101.7 The Drive, our sister station, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, over in the Land of Enchantment. Ken, it's only about a little over a three-hour drive. Ken Carr is here, midday legend on 101.7 The Drive. Yeah. Tons of stuff going on this weekend. Let's see if we can telescope it.
Well, the Tucson Jazz Festival's wrapping up this weekend. It's turned into a real signature event in January
for
Tucson.
How many years? Any idea how that long's been? Maybe 10?
Yeah, 10, maybe 10. A little less than that. Wow. But the level of talent has increased each year. They get better and better at booking, and there's more and more interest. So here's what's playing this weekend tonight. Elu plays Sting. You know, it's like from the Police, mm-hmm. at the Century Room, Afterglow with Marani Sanders at the Temple of Music and Art, Dee Dee Bridgewater, she is a fantastic vocalist, and Bill Charlap at the Fox. And then tomorrow, Jeremy Pelt with the U of A Jazz Ensemble at the Hotel Congress Plaza stage, Joe Farnsworth, the Big Room Quartet at the Century Room, Corey Wong at the Fox Theater wraps it up tomorrow night.
So, Corey's terrific, Corey Wong. What else going on this weekend?
You can't go Wong with Corey Wong. All right. Paranormal Cirque. It's a weird combination, and I say weird because it's kind of different.
It's kind of out there, Ken.
Of Cirque du Soleil and mm-hmm. the paranormal. Mm. And so there's a big tent at the Tucson Mall parking lot, and that continues through Monday. They call it Fear Meets Entertainment, which is a really interesting combination, right?
Yep.
Also, Fly a Drone Day. Pima Air and Space Museum. This is something for the younger set. Beginners can build your own drones from 10 to noon, and then intermediates from 1 to 3 for ages 11 and up. And how about some interesting music? Sons of the Pioneers. They have been at it since the 1930s.
different group, but the name still has been around.
Forever. And the music's still fantastic. Their very first hit was in 1934 called Tumbling Tumbleweeds.
I thought it was Tumbling Tumbleweeds.
And that's... also, the Temptations are in concert tomorrow night. On Sunday night. Desert Diamond in Sowrita. And, of course, some iconic Motown group. Can't miss that.
Thank you very much, Ken Carr from 101.7 The Drive. The Buckmaster Show, a presentation of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, wholly responsible for the content of the program. Thanks, Brendan Kraft, on the other side of the glass. Have a great weekend, everybody.